members of the House and Senate are trying to iron out the differences between bills passed in each chamber to overhaul the 16-year-old No Child Left Behind education law, which is widely viewed as a failure. Both bills would decrease federal authority and increase local and state authority in education. Joining us now is U.S. Secretary of Education Arne Duncan. Mr. Secretary, welcome. And I have to say, you used to have support from both parties. Now it seems like you've become politically divisive. You've got enemies on the right and the left.
I don't know if either characterization is fully accurate, and I've always tried to be totally non-political and just to fight for kids and to work with folks across the political spectrum to make sure kids have a better chance in life. And that's what I've always tried to do, and that's what I've always continued to do.
So how have you found yourself then in this position where in Congress there are people who want to take as much of your power away as possible when it comes to No Child Left Behind and education standards?
Well, again, that doesn't quite make sense because if they look to fix the law, all the most of the implementation will be after we're gone. So if they're thinking about me, that's sort of the wrong thing they should be thinking about. The question for everybody is, what can we build upon current momentum? And we're very pleased that high school graduation rates are at all-time highs. Dropout rates are at all-time lows. We have a million more students of color going on to college, which is huge. But, Jeremy, you know, we have a long, long way to go. So the question for everybody should be, how do we accelerate the pace of change? How do we give every child across the nation a real chance in life through quality education? And ultimately, this is a civil rights law. And we have to fight for equity. And that's got to be at the heart of every decision that's made by folks in Congress.
So what would you like to happen at this point? Do you like the House or the Senate bill, or would you like neither of them or some of both?
Well, I'll sort of give a quick summary. So what I really appreciate in the Senate is they are making a genuine effort to work in a bipartisan way. And the No Child Left Behind law has been broken for a long time. Unfortunately, Congress has also been broken for a long time. But they are trying to get past their dysfunction, and there's no guarantee of success here. This thing could fall apart at any time, but they are really, really making a good faith effort. In the House so far, it's been purely politics. So it's just been a party line vote. No Democrats have supported it. And when you have something like that, that's not about children and improving education. That's just about politics. So a long way to go, but at least in the Senate, there's an honest effort to try and work together and get to a bipartisan place. And by definition, you know, and this stuff, the ultimate product, if we get to that point, will be something that, you know, neither side will be fully, you know, will love perfectly or fully support. But that's the nature of legislation. It's about compromise.
Well, what would be acceptable to you to come out of these reforms to No Child Left Behind?
Well, there are a number. I'll give you both the things they've done well, but also what we think they need to do to improve the bill as it goes forward. They're moving away from sort of the one size fits all prescriptions of No Child Left Behind. We pushed very, very hard to get high quality early learning into the bill. Learning doesn't start at 5 years old. It starts at birth. There's a commitment to investing in innovation and scaling what works. They're looking to both assess students annually, but also stop over-testing. So there's some steps in the right direction. But where the bill needs to improve as it goes forward is, again, ultimately this is about equity. And this law came out of 1965, out of the Civil Rights Movement. And the law to date doesn't require schools to act when students are struggling. And I'm all for transparency. I'm all for having clear data. But we can't just admire a problem or observe a problem or label a problem. We have to change things for kids.
But can you have a situation where all children have a chance to be successful and you have local control of the process as opposed to a more standardized federal idea of this?
Absolutely. And anyone who thinks this should be managed from Washington doesn't begin to understand the tremendous diversity and complexity of our nation. We think about 100,000 schools. You think about 15,000 school districts. To think that anybody in Washington could figure out what's best for an inner city child or a child in rural America or a child that lives on a tribal reservation, that would be, frankly, the height of arrogance.
And I think national standards?
Well, I think you have to have high standards. And what we've said is you need to have college and career-ready standards. And what we've seen in too many places is because states have reduced standards to make politicians look good. Far too many of our high school graduates are having to take remedial classes, which is terrible for them. It's terrible for taxpayers. No one wins there. So having states set high standards that truly prepare students for college and careers directionally, I think, is where everyone wants to go. But anyone who argues for lower standards, I think, doesn't have children's best interests at heart.
Do you think, though, that that's where we're going here with these bills, is in the end, in effect, lower standards?
I don't think that's where we're going with this bill. So this bill does talk about college and career-ready standards. Where my concern with, again, some real positives in the bill, the negatives are not around lowering the bar. It's about, are we really protecting the most vulnerable students, English language learners, students in the bottom 5% of schools, places where we're seeing insidious achievement gaps. Again, are we just admiring the problem and labeling the problem, or are we taking action to give children the chance they deserve to get a great, great education?
You brought up the term college and career ready, and I wonder if that to you means the standards that are associated with the Common Core. Do those mean the same thing to you?
No, it means different things in different places. For me, the common definition there, the simple definition, is that young people who graduate from high school don't have to take remedial classes. And where states tell us that that bar of students graduating from high school means they don't have to take remedial classes, then we think that's fantastic. Where you are graduating from high school and still have some places where you have 30, 40, 50, 60% of students who have to take non-credit-bearing classes in college because they're not fully prepared. Again, they have higher dropout rates. It takes them longer to complete. That's eating up taxpayer money. It's eating up their money. It just makes no sense.
Let me ask you about the Common Core. How did that get so political, do you think?
I think, again, it's a political season, and for me, it's not about names or labels. It's just about, do we want students to be truly ready for college and career, or are we content to have, you know, a very, very high percentage of young people going on to college not prepared? And I don't think that's in any of their interests. It's not in any state's interest. And ultimately, if our goal is to keep high-wage, high-skilled jobs in America and have a strong economy, it's in all of our interests to have the best educated workforce in the world, and I think that's the common ground that we should be shooting for.
And I should say, by the way, we looked at the latest numbers from the OECD, and we're now, I think, 28th in math and science, about 10 spots behind Slovenia.
We have a long way to go, whether you look at math results or English language arts results. I'm always looking at college graduation rates. A generation ago, we led the world in college graduation rates, and today we're 12th. And it's interesting, Jeremy, it's not that we've dropped, it's just that we've stagnated, we've flatlined, and about 11 other countries have passed us by. And in a globally competitive economy, that's not something we should be proud of, or that's not something we should be complacent about. So again, take all the politics and ideology out of it. It's how do we get better, faster together? How do we continue to increase high school graduation rates, reduce dropout rates, make sure those high school graduates are truly ready for college? And then ultimately, the North Star in all this should be to lead the world in college graduation rates, whether that's in four-year universities, two-year community colleges. Doesn't matter. That step up in terms of the college completion rates is absolutely the right thing for everybody.
And after 6+ years in the Obama administration, and we're still at those levels, do you still have the optimism that we can do that? That we can lead the world in graduation rates?
No question. It's just whether we have the will to do it, and to see high school graduation rates at the highest levels ever, to see dropout rates down so much. Latino dropout rates have been cut in half over the past decade. African American by 45%. Between 2008 and 2012, we saw 1.1 million additional students of color, not just graduating from high school, but going on to college. So the trends are going the right direction. But do I think we're getting better fast enough? Absolutely not. And I think everything we should be doing at every level, the federal, state, and the local level, should be accelerating the pace of change. Jeremy, I worry a lot about income inequality in our nation. I worry about the haves and the have-nots. And the best way I know how to close those gaps and to have more folks, you know, being able to get good middle-class jobs is to give them access to a great education.
Secretary Duncan, I want to ask you about an issue that has come up with you and others. This is for years and years and years. But right now it's coming up with you because your kids are going to be moving to a different school and it's a private school. And I wonder, do you think that there's anything to the criticism that the head of the education department or a public official in general, we've heard from Governor Chris Christie, who says this is none of your business where I'm sending my kids to school. Do you think it's none of our business, or do you think that it sends the wrong message to have somebody who's trying to make the public schools great send their own kids to private school?
I think it's up to you and your listeners to decide. Well, I'll say my daughter has been in public schools for 9 years, so I think we've shown tremendous commitment. My wife is going back to work at the high school, the school she worked for 10 years. It happens to be a private school. I'm commuting back and forth, and just to try and keep our life as simple as possible, my wife is going to walk one block to school, and my kids are going to walk one block to school, and I hope the public understands that.
What is the one thing that you would like to do in your remaining time there at the Education Department?
I have to be a little more greedy than that. I don't know if there's one, so I'd love to continue to increase access to early learning. We talked about that. I think, again, there's nothing more important we can do.
Well, do you think that's what your legacy is going to be, or that what you'd like your legacy to be is just increasing access?
I don't really worry about my legacy. I just worry about, are we giving more children a chance to have great lives? And again, other people can worry about, you know, legacy at some point. But I'd love to see high school graduation rates continue to climb and see dropout rates continue to drop. And we have to make sure college is more accessible and affordable, and those college completion rates are going up. So we have a lot of hard work ahead of us at every level, sort of, you know, this cradle through to career, early childhood, K-12, higher ed. We have a lot of hard work ahead of us at every point along that continuum.
And are you going to stay till the end?
I'm working hard every single day.
Secretary of Education Arne Duncan. Secretary Duncan, thank you so much for joining us.
All right. Thanks for the opportunity. Have a good day now.